Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Teach and Speak Truthfully to One Another.
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 16. Let us listen to God's word for us. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Our second reading is Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
And then we hear Ephesians chapter 4. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members one of another. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, may your word help to shape and inform and inspire my words. And may my words now help to shape and inform and inspire this, your people, that we might follow more faithfully after you. All to your honor and glory, we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. The past couple of weeks, we've been looking together at several of the one anothering passages in the New Testament. And while each of these may be seen as a standalone message, I would also encourage us to see them kind of as creating a daisy chain as they are linked to one another. You might recall we began with the admonition that we are given to meet together with one another, emphasizing the communal nature of our faith, and then of welcoming and accepting one another despite our differences, despite our disagreements, just as Christ has welcomed us. And that to the end of harmony, to the glory of God. But in that appeal for harmony, of unity, that is unity, not uniformity, in that appeal, is that to suggest that real issues of disagreement and dissent are not to be debated or discussed? Absolutely not. In fact, we could even argue that these differences and disagreements are best to be aired here in the church among our fellow brothers and sisters rather than elsewhere, because here with one another we have a common sense of unity, a shared identity. Recall E. Stanley Jones' words, "I belong to Christ, you belong to Christ, we belong together." That is, together with one another, even in our times of disagreement, we can agree that the one who unites us is greater than anything that could seek to divide us. That is, unless we allow that disagreement to divide us. So given that persons of good character and principle may differ, an affirmation that we hold as a foundational understanding of what it means to be a Presbyterian, it is contingent that we learn how to differ and disagree and discuss and debate in ways that are God-honoring and respectful of one another. It does the cause of Christ and the witness of the church no benefit if we can't demonstrate to the world our ability to get along with one another, even as we embrace and honor, even as we celebrate our differences. Each of our scripture lessons this morning, both Old and New Testament, encourage us to teach and to speak truth to one another. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah writes, "There, these are the things you shall do, to speak truth to one another. Render in your gates, that is, within these walls, judgments that are true, and make for peace." In his letter to the Colossians, Paul instructs that we are to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And again in Ephesians, he writes, "So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members one of another." And that passage is just verses after his more famous admonition when he says, "Speak the truth in love." As followers of Jesus, we are called to be truth speakers. And we need to surround ourselves with truth speakers, with those who will speak the truth to us. And that not in order to tear us down, but in order to build us up. Not in order to wound us, but in fact in order to heal us. Now, admittedly, sometimes the truth hurts. It is uncomfortable to have the bright light of truth shined into the darkened places of our lives, because invariably there is some dirt that is found there that needs to be cleaned up and then cleared out. Painful and soul-searching as that may be, when that happens, I want it to be done by someone who knows me, who loves me, who I know has my best interest in mind. Like the doctor who had to perform surgery on his own son, saying, "I may hurt you, but I will never harm you." So when we're called to speak the truth to one another, we must first do a gut check on ourselves to demonstrate and determine both our methods and our motives. As theologian Reinhold Niebuhr noted, we must fight falsehood with our truth, and we must also fight the falsehood in our truth. It's not simply our truth we're trying to promote to another, but God's truth. And so we have to be careful not to slip into the presumption that God always agrees with me. Abraham Lincoln rather famously said, and wisely, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is whether we are on God's side." And so to this end of self-reflection, Paul writes that we are to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, with humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another. Oh, there's another one of those one anothering passages. "And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other just as the Lord has forgiven you." Lewis Smedes writes, "The art of honesty is to tell the right truth to the right person at the right time in the right way. Some people have the instinct for telling the right truth at the wrong time, but telling it does not make them more honest. It makes them more cruel." The truth, we know, can be a sharp scalpel, beneficial to cut out cancer in our lives, but it can also be a blunt instrument which bludgeons and does more harm than good. Calvin Miller writes, "Malicious truth gloats like a conqueror. Loving truth mourns that it must confront and show a brother or sister in error." Malicious truth struts at its power. Loving truth weeps to find that the correction it inspires may for a while cause great pain. Malicious truth cries, "Checkmate, you are beaten." Loving truth whispers, "I correct you with the same pain you feel, but when the pain is over, we shall both rejoice that honesty and love have been served." So when we speak the truth, as we are called to do, let us commit ourselves first to speaking it in love, with grace and gentleness, humility. You know, it takes courage to speak the truth to another, even when it's spoken in love, doesn't it? It's not an easy thing to speak honestly with another, particularly when it is a hard truth that needs to be shared. So speaking the truth requires boldness, some act of courage on the part of the speaker, but it also requires some good measure of grace and humility on the part of the one who is receiving that hard truth without our becoming defensive, back on our heels, our dander up, lest we are unable to hear the truth that's being spoken to us. In recent months, I know many of us have found ourselves having hard conversations, hearing difficult truths, asking and being asked hard questions, particularly regarding issues of race and social justice. When we have engaged in those difficult conversations, we have found ourselves of being both in the position of being truth speakers, struggling with how to speak honestly and clearly and boldly to one another, but also truth receivers who have had to pause and listen before we speak or act or defend ourselves, which again calls for a good measure of grace and humility. Several weeks ago, I was invited to be part of a panel of area pastors who were asked to have a Zoom conversation and a conversation about racism and social justice. At one point in the conversation, I said something to the effect that I was still growing in my awareness of the issues and working on finding the right language to speak about them. And one of the other pastors in the conversation asked, rather assertively, "So where have you been? Why now? Why has it taken you so long?" Now, I could have taken offense at that question, but I chose instead to take it as an opportunity to reflect and consider my response. I've come to see this whole season of conversations as a time in which I can hold a mirror up to my own face to look at my own image and actions and not those of anyone else. For me, this has become a time of self-reflection, of time of self-examination. So since that call, I have been asking myself, so where have I been on some of these issues, and where am I now? I believe that that kind of honest hearing of the truth is as necessary as is the honest sharing of it. I need someone to speak the truth to me, honestly, boldly, gently, lovingly, and I need to learn to receive it as it is intended, with all the humility I can muster, knowing and trusting that it's being given to me for my own good benefit. Speaking the truth with one another is part of the life of discipleship. It's part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the one who is the truth. It's part of what it means to be a member of his company called the church. And even as we know that we must say yes to those things that are God-honoring and kingdom-building, so we must also have the courage and the conviction to say no to those things that are not. Some things are simply wrong, inconsistent, contrary to Christian teaching and life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So in our saying yes to him, we also have to be willing to say no to those things that are inconsistent with being one of his followers. Sometimes we witness events or systems or powers or authorities that simply have to have truth spoken to them. And in that moment, we realize that we are the ones who are called to speak that truth. Right time, right place, right message, right truth. And that's not because of who we are, but because of to whom we belong, because of who Christ is to us. The truth we speak is not our truth, it is his truth. As Oswald Chambers put it, God never gives us discernment in order that we may criticize, but that we may intercede. One of my favorite stories comes from a time near the end of the Roman Empire when a monk visited the great city of Rome and joined the crowds as they made their way to the Colosseum to witness the gladiatorial games. This man of God was shocked by the violence being waged by the two combatants in the arena, and was disgusted by the reaction of the crowd calling for bloodshed and death. At first, to himself, almost under his breath, inaudibly, the monk began to say, "No, no." But as he stood to leave, his voice became louder and stronger. "No, no." And to his surprise, others began to join in, and soon the Colosseum was filled with this chorus, "No, no." And shortly thereafter, the death games of the gladiators was banned from the Roman Empire altogether. One voice, speaking a word of truth, tipped the scales. Someone dared to speak the truth with a no, with a, "There's a better way for us to live together." And others joined in the chorus. William Wilberforce almost single-handedly helped awaken 19th century England to the horrors of the slave trade. Alexander Solzhenitsyn compelled the world to grasp the evils of Soviet communism. Mahatma Gandhi became the voice calling for the injustices, calling out the injustices of the caste system in India. Desmond Tutu courageously helped South Africa abandon apartheid. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called attention to the issues of racism and social injustice in our nation. Each of these, and then countless others, dared to speak the truth. Honestly, lovingly, convincingly, compellingly, lovingly, boldly. May we have the courage and conviction to do the same with one another. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the humility. Give us the boldness. Give us the confidence to face our own error and then to speak truth, not only to others, but to ourselves, that in humility we might be shaped and formed and changed into your image and likeness, to your honor and glory, and to the coming of your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name.